I realize I'm the last speaker, so I will keep it moving. Some of you know that I've been working the last few years looking at using bumblebees as a novel system to deliver microbials, in this case Bavaria bassiana, to greenhouse vegetable crops for pest management. Today I want to talk about using the same system and its impact on the beneficials that are used in greenhouse vegetables. Bavaria bassiana is an entomopathogenic fungus that attacks a wide host range of arthropods. It attacks greenhouse whitefly, western flower thrips, tarnished plant bug, green peach aphid. You can see here the whiteflies that have got some mycelium growing out. This is western flower thrips. It's pretty well encased with Bavaria. And here also you have Liguus. And this is an aphid that is certainly, the mycelium is well established and you can't recognize it being an aphid anymore. Just to give you a little background update on this bee vectoring technology, it actually started back in the early 1990s using honeybees to deliver fungal antagonists, Clonostachys rosei, by plant pathologists at the University of Guelph to control and suppress gray mold. Later in the 1990s, actually, a group in Rothamsted, Tariq Butt and his colleagues, they looked at using honeybees to deliver metarhizium for pollen beetle control in rape. And at the same time, we started looking at using honeybees for delivering Bavaria for Liguus control on canola. And then we switched over to greenhouse crops and bumblebees, and by 2004, we showed that bumblebees can deliver the Bavaria for insect pest control for Liguus and thrips on greenhouse pepper. And by 2006, we determined the optimal concentration of bee-vectored Bavaria for peppers and tomatoes for whiteflies, for thrips, aphids, and Liguus. And then lastly, we showed that bumblebees can be used to deliver more than one agent in their inoculum for simultaneous control of insects, pests, and disease suppression. So the next steps were, of course, to look at this technology and see what the impact is on the biocontrol agents used in greenhouse trials, and that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. But also, we are currently doing some work in commercial houses to evaluate its efficacy under commercial production conditions and also its compatibility with biological control programs that are being used in commercial houses. The experimental plants and organisms that we use Bombus impatiens. Whoops. That is the pollinator that's used constantly in North America here for greenhouse tomatoes and peppers. We also then, of course, looked at sweet pepper and tomato. We looked at the biocontrol agents. We looked at two parasitoids that are used for whitefly control. That is Encarsia formosa and Eremocerus eremicus. And we also looked at the aphid parasitoid Aphidius colmanni. And the predatory mite, which is you've heard about earlier, talked about, Amblycius swirsky. I'm also looking at Aureus insidiosus, but I'm still currently doing the work on that right now. And the fungal agent is Botanigard, and we used 22WP as our formulation. It's a dry formulation, which you have to use with the bees. And the concentration is 6.24 times 10 to the 10th conidia of Bavaria per gram of inoculum. This is our experimental cage design. You can see here we had either the tomatoes or the peppers in the plant, in the cages here. We had 32 plants in a cage, so we had two double rows of 16 plants per double row. We put one hive in a cage with a queen and 25 workers. You can see here the dispenser pulled out the bees as they left the hive. They were forced through the bottom dispenser there. They walked the zigzag, and you could see here on the bee, it's pretty hard maybe to tell, but you can see we pulled out the dispenser and the white powder here, the inoculum, on the bees. For what we did for our trials, we put our plants in first. We then put the bees in, allowed them 1 day to acclimate. We put our beneficials, released them, whether it was a parasitoid or the mites, we released 1,000 beneficials per cage. We then put in our dispenser, and we allowed a 3 day exposure period. Came in, collected our samples. We collected bees, insect leaves, and we processed them for 3 days. We removed our dispenser. We then put a new dispenser in, new beneficials, and did a second sample another 3 days later. When we put our beneficials in there, this slide here shows you Jean-Pierre Capongo, who was the one that did the work here. And he is infesting tomato leaves with adult whiteflies so we can obtain the second instars. We needed that in the cage so we can monitor their parasitism levels. We wanted to see if there was any difference in parasitism levels between our treatments. That is our control that had bumblebees but no Bavaria with the bee-vectored Bavaria treatment. This other one here on your right is pepper leaves, where we infested them with the day before with third instar nymphs of green peach aphid. We put the cage that you could see here, the leaf cage, to confine them on the cage for 24 hours. Then we removed them. That way we had establishment of the nymphs and they didn't fall off the leaves. We also did this, use these cages here, leaf cages, with pepper plants, and we put adult western flower thrips there so we can get the first instars to provide food for the Swirsky. This is the students here collecting our samples. They had to collect they collected all the insects individually in vials. You can see we collected 60 to 70 insects or mites individually for mortality, mycosis, body washings, and predation assessment. This shows you here with the parasitoids. We put them in these vials. We put a streak of honey for them to feed on. We kept the vials for 14 days in an incubator at 24 degrees. We checked them daily for any dead parasitoids. Any dead parasitoids were then taken out and placed, plated out in auger plates here, which we then would put in an incubator again for 5 days at 25 degrees and check for mycosis. On your right here, we put the mites on a leaf disc. We fed them pollen, and they were checked daily, again for mortality, and treated the same way as the parasitoids. For our parasitism and predation assessments, after we were done the second sample, we took the plants, as you can see here, the tomato plants, we put them into another greenhouse. We held them for 14 days. After which we then removed the leaves that we had marked earlier and checked for parasitism between our two treatments, our control and our Bavaria treatment. We did the same thing, of course, with the aphids too. And here, this is for the predation assessment. We took our individual mites, we put them on our leaf discs, fed them 15 first instar western flower thrips for 24 hours, then we came back and counted the number of alive and dead thrips to look at our predation rates. We also looked at bumblebee survival. We wanted to just see if it was having any negative impact on the vector that was carrying the microbial agent. After our trials were done, we took the hives out of the cages. We then moved the hive back into the commercial box. We put them in incubators at 24 degrees Celsius for 3 weeks. We fed them pollen, checked for dead bees on a weekly basis. This is the results that we have here for the whitefly parasitoids. You can see here on the graph on the left here that there was no difference in the parasitism levels. This was the mortality levels here. There was no difference between Encarsia with our control and our microbial. And also the same goes with the Eremocerus here with our control and our microbial. This is the Bavaria treatment here. There was no difference in mortality. You can see here in the control, there was no mycosis with any of the dead insects. But we did get a certain percentage of, about 40% of the dead insects here were dead due to Bavaria. When you take a look at the parasitism levels, there was no difference between the treatments for Encarsia, and the same was with Eryptmosceris. When you looked at Phidias colmanni here, when you looked at the number of dead, there was no difference between our two treatments. The number of dead, of course, were way too high, actually, in these treatments. This was due to the handling of our with the Aphidius. Our techniques here resulted in too high of mortality. But again, with the control, none of the dead were attributed to Bavaria. And here was the percentage here, about 20% of the dead in the microbial were had incidence of Bavaria. Again, parasitism levels, there was no difference in the parasitism between the two treatments. Similar scenario with the predatory mites. Of course, we didn't expect that there should be a lot of impact on the predatory mites. In the literature, the mites usually aren't affected by Bavaria. Here you can see that there's no difference here with the dead mites in mortality. With mycosis, there was only mycosis with the Bavaria treatments, and again, the predation levels were the same for both treatments. With the bees, again, there was no difference with the bee mortality between our treatments for any of the beneficials across all the trials that we did. We did have about 40 to 50% mycosis in the microbial treatments, and this was consistent with all the work that I've been doing with all my trials with the bee vectoring work. As I mentioned to you earlier, we did collect our insects and we washed them too. We wanted to find out what conidia was deposited, what they picked up when they were walking around on the leaves here. We had to group them in groups of five individuals so we can get that was one individual was too small and you wouldn't detect anything. You could see for colmanni and the two whitefly parasitoids, really the number of CFUs, these are colony-forming units, the number of conidia was pretty much the same between them. With Swirsky here, it was just slightly under 100. So they did definitely pick up Bavaria, but it did not have a major impact on their mortality rates. So really, in conclusion here, bee vector Bavaria bassiana at a concentration of 6.24 times 10 to the 10 conidia of Bavaria per gram of inoculum did not have a negative impact on the beneficials that I examined here. It also did not affect negatively. There was no sublethal effects on the predation rates or the parasitism levels. Bee mortality, of course, was not significantly different between these microbial and control treatments. So we're very interested to see what happens when we do the commercial trials, again, to see if we get similar results, because we're looking at pepper and tomato growers that had biocontrol programs already implemented. And I'd like to acknowledge BioBest Canada for providing the bumblebee hives for the work, Laverlam for providing the Botanigard, and funding with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada matching investment initiatives, and the three growers that we worked at their facilities, and of course the technicians that helped out with the work. Any questions? Yes. The question was, what was the humidity level in the cages? The humidity level was about 75%. It'd be plus or minus 5%.
Oftentimes in a real greenhouse, it varies quite a bit. It drops down in the day, and then at night it'll get up to 90%.
Yes, and no. If it gets high in the night, because it really doesn't take a long period for germination. And also, we're also finding that the humidity, the ambient humidity in the greenhouse isn't necessarily what you should be looking at. You should be looking at the humidity at the leaf surface where the insects are, and it can be substantially higher than you would get in the ambient. And in vegetable houses, you do get humidities generally in the ranges of 75% or more. It's quite normal. Yes?
Yeah, you showed that in all of your detections of mycosis, in all of the agents that you reported on, you had 40%, 50% mycosis. So does this affect the lifespan of the agent? And if that's the case, do you think the activity of the agent is going to be affected because of reduced lifespan? So in other words, is that a pathogenic infection that we're looking at when we see mycosis?
Okay, the question was, does the level of mycosis that I detect in the insects affect their longevity?
Yes.
And as a result, their efficacy?
Yes.
We found that after we kept the insects alive for 15 days, and that was for our mortality. We actually, some of the insects we can keep alive much longer. We didn't get mycosis after 7 days, period. I really can't answer. I think you're right. That's a good question. We need to take a look at that a lot more. But like I say, the mortality between the two, we found really no difference. So longevity-wise, we're assuming that it should be similar. Yes?
If I understood you correctly, you focus on foliage as a route of exposure. And I was wondering, presumably the spores are predominantly deposited on flowers by the bumblebees. Did you include those as well in your studies?
Yes. The question was that the assumption was that I looked at the foliage where a lot of the pests would be found, and did I look at flowers to see deposition too? What we did was we did take, yes, there's more deposition on the flowers. You will get 10 to the 3 conidia on CFU units on the flowers. You're going to get anywhere on the leaves. You're going to get 10 to the 2nd on the leaves conidia. We have found the interesting thing is that we have found that you can get it on the underside of the leaves as well as the top side of the leaves. Most people feel that you won't get anything on the leaves because it's bees, they're pollinating flowers. When the bees are flying around, these are bumblebees, they're buzz pollinators. Through that mechanism, they are releasing a lot of the inoculum, comes off their bodies, they groom themselves on the leaves, so that's how we feel they get on the leaves. Yes, it will even work better for mortality control in the flowers.
But also your natural enemies might be visiting those flowers and picking it up there.
Yes, certainly, and that's why we say we want to look at our commercial trials. It may be harder on the natural enemies that are found predominantly in the flowers. It's interesting that I did find Bavaria on those natural enemies, and you know, why wasn't the mortality higher? I don't know. I mean, it could be that they're more mobile and flying. It could be that they're more elevated off the leaf surface than some of the pests, and maybe they pick up a lot less than the pests this way. These are good questions that do need to be looked at, yes.
One last question.
I was curious, did you guys examine any factors on the effects of colony development, anything on larval growth or brood development as a result of this exposure?
The question is, did we look at anything effect on colony development, brood development? Yes, we have. With the bumblebees, they do not bring it back into the hive. I didn't mention that there is a division there, a plexiglass plate over the lower dispenser. So when they go back in the hive, they go on this plexiglass plate straight into the hive. So they're not taking the Bavaria into the hive because, yes, the bees, if they did take it in, and eventually it could have a negative impact. The temperature in the hive could be high enough. The hives only have to last 6 to 8 weeks in a commercial setting, and the bees are multiplying fast enough that even though we have some mycosis and mortality, it's not great enough to have any economic impact on using the bumblebees as a vector system.
Thank you.